Happy Mother's Day to you, and thank you, spiritual moms. Thank you for those of you who pour into the other ladies here at our church and in our community. Mother's Day is an interesting day. Did you know that more phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year? Phone traffic spikes by as much as 37%. Fortune magazine called Mother's Day the Super Bowl of flowers. Americans are expected to spend $2.4 billion on floral arrangements this year. And you can still contribute to that if you haven't, and I would heavily advise it. The American holiday of Mother's Day finds its roots in 19th century Virginia. A group of women started Mother's Day work clubs to teach local women how to properly care for their children. After the Civil War, these clubs organized Mother's Friendship Days, where mothers would gather with former Union and Confederate soldiers to promote reconciliation and forgiveness. Mother's Day was first celebrated in the U.S. in 1908. It was at a Methodist church in Virginia, and each mom was given a white carnation because the carnation does not drop its petals but hugs them to its heart as it dies. And so too mothers hug their children to their hearts, their mother love never dying. The woman who headed up that first celebration wanted Mother's Day to be a simple holiday where churches would honor moms, where children would thank their mothers, and families would spend time with their moms. As you can imagine, this custom quickly spread to 45 states. So in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a law into order that would make it an official U.S. holiday. Its stated purpose was to honor the sacrifice that mothers made for their children. Now, that is a bit of a shift from the early focus on mothers learning how to care for their kids as older moms teaching other moms and serving in the community, but it did honor the desire of its founder, a day where churches honored moms, children thanked their moms, and families spent time with their mother. Today, Mother's Day is usually seen as a day to treat mom to something special, take her to her favorite restaurant, maybe give her the day off. When I was searching for Mother's Day cards, quite a few of them this year had, you know, pins that came with the card that mom could wear, and it says, free day of no work, or something like that. Mother's Day is also one of the biggest holidays today for consumer spending. On an interesting note, the woman who organized that first celebration in 1908 was one of the chief campaigners for it to be a national holiday. Did you know that she spent her entire life savings fighting in courts for its removal from the calendar because of the commercialization of Mother's Day? Interesting. Now, the Bible doesn't have much to say about Mother's Day because it came around after the Bible was done. But the Bible does have a lot to say about being a good mother. It also says that sound teaching in the church instructs the older women to teach the younger women how to be good moms. In Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, but you, to Titus, who's a young pastor, Paul's teaching him how to be a good pastor, and he says, but you, Titus, you teach the things that become or are proper for sound doctrine. This is what's good teaching. And what is it? Well, that the older men, the aged men, they be sober, they be reverent, they be temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. You know, the older men, they live godly lives. But then it says here, the aged women likewise, they live godly lives too, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Why? Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. So if you're a mom this morning, I urge you to search the scriptures on how to be a better mom, and then to be obedient to your calling from God to instruct younger mothers on how to do that as well. I believe that that's something that the church has lost sight of today, that culture has certainly lost sight of today, and that we need to do a better job at. So a lot of times I'll hear older moms say, but the younger ladies don't want to hear it. The younger moms don't care. They want to do it their way. You did too when you were that age. But people poured into you. Our culture tends to be very wimpy. We don't handle adversity very well. So when someone doesn't listen to us, oh, they don't listen to me. So don't be that mom. Be super mom. Be like, I don't care if you want to hear it or not. I'm going to tell you. And just love them and be courageous. And that's how you win a generation. But on a Sunday morning, however, teaching about those things and how to do those things applies to a very limited group of people. There's a whole half gender of you here who are not moms and can never be moms and never will be moms. And if you think you're a mom, I'll talk to you after the service because we have other issues. But we do have all have one thing in common. We all have moms. And whether you had a good mom or a bad mom, the Bible commands us to honor your mother. It says, honor your father and mother. Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. It's number 5 of the 10 commandments. Now, because it's part of the 10 commandments, that means it's part of God's moral law that never changes. You know, the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, we don't have those. We don't have a temple, or we are the temple of the Lord. We don't have to follow those anymore. They don't apply to us. The civil laws applied to the governing nation of Israel. We are not a nation. The church is not a nation. We're a spiritual kingdom in that sense, but we're not a nation, so we don't have civil laws. But the moral laws of God stand all throughout time. They always apply. It's always wrong to steal. It's always wrong to lie. It's always wrong to commit adultery. It's always wrong to have idols. And we should always honor our father and mother. Now, you would notice in Exodus 20:12, if you read it, that there is no caveat for whether you had a good mom or a bad mom. It doesn't say honor thy father and thy mother if they're good at it. It doesn't say that. It just says honor thy father and thy mother. So that's Old Testament, Pastor Will. True. It's reiterated in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then Paul quotes Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So that means it still applies. The Old Testament taught it. It's God's moral law, and it still stands today. Honor thy father and thy mother. That makes it an important topic for all of us this morning. And so it also leaves us with some questions that I'd like to address today. So what does it mean to honor your mother? Well, defining honor can be difficult. We don't use that word today in the way it probably was used in the old days. In the Old Testament, the word honor means to something, for something to be heavy or weighty. It doesn't mean that you consider mom to be overweight. That's not the point. The point is that mom is weighty with you. She's, the things she says, the things she does, they count a lot in your life. They are heavy to you. You know, they weigh heavily into your consideration. The New Testament word for honor means to assign a high value to something, to revere it, to venerate it. In the English language, even our word honor, it means to regard with great respect. I think all of those definitions, as they are commanded by God in Scripture, I think they give us a good understanding of what it means to honor our mother. It means to assign a high value to our mothers and to treat them with respect, whether they have earned it by their behavior or not. To disobey this command for whatever reason is folly. Why? Because you didn't get to pick your mom. Think about it for a moment. Who picked your mom? God picked your mom. You didn't pick your mom. You know, contrary to what some may say, there's not all these souls waiting up in heaven to be filled with bodies. And I can guarantee you, even if there were, God wasn't out there going, all right, I've got a redhead, she's got a fiery temper, but she's really good at math. Me, you know, and oh, blammo, all right, there you go. Pregnancy. That's not how it works. God breathes the breath of life unto us in conception. He chooses who our mom will be. So it's folly to disobey this command, because in essence you're saying, God, you did a bad job. So even if they were the worst mother in the world, God made them your mother to shape you into the person you are today. And thus you can thank and honor your mother for the simple fact of giving birth to you. Especially in this day where it's very easy to not bring a pregnancy to birth. Now, giving birth doesn't make anyone the mother of the year. I understand that. And I realize some of you may have had abusive moms or moms who neglected you. There are moms who have given birth and treated their children horrifically, and there are women who have never been able to bring a child to birth who would have been the best of mothers to that child. But that your mother did carry you and bring you into the world is a reason for all of us to be thankful. There's at least one. So when we define honor, we're recognizing the fact that they count for something because God's the one who picked them for us. Secondly, it means taking time to value our mothers. If we're going to honor our moms, it means we need to take the time to value them. Assigning high value to something means we take time with it. I come home from work. I'm a person of very routine habit. And I make a beeline for my desk, because there goes my Bible, my iPad, and next goes down to it, my wallet, and then the phone and the keys. Now the keys are usually, they get tossed over there because they're keys. There's nothing particularly special, nothing breakable about them. They get tossed. I don't spend a whole lot of time considering how I'm going to put those things down. On the other hand, these two things here mean something very important to me. This is given to me by my wife on my 10th anniversary. This was given to me, I believe, for a Father's Day or another anniversary. They both have great meaning to me. When I take them off today, because they go on my desk, they have a special place. I don't care how my keys fall. But these have a special place where they go, and I set them down so I don't break them. When we value something, we take time with it. And that means that even if there's much that your mother did wrong, if you take the time, you'll find that they did pass on some very important things to you that positively shaped your life. So with that in mind, I'd like to turn to Proverbs chapter 31 this morning. Now, before you get fearful, I have taught on Proverbs 31 on Mother's Day, and I was informed by three very angry women after the service that I ruined their Mother's Day. So I will never do that again. However, there are some things here I'd like to share with you. We're going to be all over the book of Proverbs this morning. But I'd like to start in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, and I want to look at verses 1 and 2. We usually think of Proverbs 31 as, of course, the proverb that talks about the virtuous woman. But there's quite a few other things in here. This proverb gives advice to kings, talks about alcohol consumption, talks about leadership, talks about how to find a good wife, and talks about what, you know, the virtuous woman's like. But here we find at the beginning where this advice comes from. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And she said, what, my son? And what, the son of my womb? What, the son of my vows? Son, you're so important to me. I gave birth to you. I gave life to you. Here's some wisdom I have to share with you. And this guy says, these are not my words. He goes, this is the advice my mother gave to me. Now, King Lemuel, who's that guy? Well, most people consider it to be a pen name for King Solomon. Now, why would he choose a pen name to give this advice? Well, who's King Solomon's mom? Ah, seeing some eyes open up out there. Bathsheba. Bathsheba's an interesting lady to be giving advice, particularly on marriage or leadership, isn't it? Bathsheba, of course, is the woman who had an affair with David. Yeah, we talk about, well, he was the king. What was she going to do? Well, okay, well, how about the time when her husband came back home and David concocted a plan where he would get him drunk so that he would go home and sleep with her, and that way, because what happened in the affair is she got pregnant, and she sent news. Funny, she sends news to David she got pregnant. She didn't tell her husband or anybody else. She's thinking, I'm going to die from getting stoned because of my adultery, and she sends notes to him, what should we do? And he concocts this plan, and she has to go along with it because he wants to get her husband to come home and get him drunk so he'll sleep with her, and he'll think it's his kid. There has to be some sense of agreement on her part to this plan. She does have a part to play in that process. Not exactly who we would call a virtuous woman. And then, of course, because Uriah was a good man, he would not sleep with his wife because his men were still out fighting. So David sent him with a letter that contained his own death sentence with orders to Joab, the general of the armies, to put him on the front line so he would die. Now, Uriah's not just a soldier. He's one of David's best friends, one of his mighty men, one of the men who stuck it through all the rough times when Saul was chasing him. I mean, this is a bad situation here, okay? Now, Solomon includes the advice of his mother on the topic of leadership, alcohol use, marriage, how to find a good wife, all this stuff. And it's from a woman who committed adultery, ended up losing a child because of God's judgment, and put Solomon into a family, because she eventually married David afterwards to cover it up, put Solomon into a family where he was in competition with all the other children from David's numerous wives. So much so that Solomon almost didn't get to become the next king because another son tried to take the throne, Adonijah. Not exactly mom of the year material. And yet, and also I wouldn't necessarily consider a trustworthy authority on leadership or marriage. And yet Solomon didn't resent her for her failures. He honored her for the good things that she shared with him. He took the time to value the good things that she shared with him. And we have this whole chapter here for us because of that. Proverbs 15 verse 20 says something very interesting. 15:20. Proverbs 15:20 says, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. We talked about how the word honor in the New Testament means to assign a high value to something. Do you know what the word despise means? It means to treat as worthless, having no value. The exact opposite of honor. The fool, it says, a foolish man treats his mother as worthless, ignores the good things that were valuable that she brought to his life. So my encouragement to us this morning is, as we're going to honor our mothers, we're going to learn how to do that, don't be a fool. Yeah, maybe mom's hurt you. Maybe you had a bad mom. But don't be a fool. Obey the Lord in this. Don't treat her as worthless. Now, how do we honor our mothers? We defined honor now. So what does that look like practically? Well, quite simply, and this applies to those of you young people who are still living with mom, or maybe if you're not quite young, maybe you're in college or whatever, or maybe you're just a grown man child and you still live with mom. Whatever way, if you're still living with mom, okay, one of the first ways that you can honor your mom is through obedience. Through obedience. Ephesians 6 verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." If you are living at home, then being obedient to your mother is a way that you can honor her. When I was a kid, we would always ask my mom what she wanted for Mother's Day. And she would always say the same thing. "Mom, what special thing can we do for your Mother's Day?" And she would look at us with this pleading desperation. "Could you just please listen to me for one day?" Every Mother's Day was always the same. "Please listen to me for one day." I don't know if we ever succeeded in that. You know, when I do marriage counseling, I tell husbands, if you can biblically do what your wife is asking you to do, why aren't you? What is your problem? "I would like him to pray with me after the kids go to bed every night." Why aren't you doing it? "I'd like us to do something as a family on Tuesday nights, game night, whatever." Why aren't you doing it? Like, what is stopping you? There's no biblical reason not to do that. Now, if your wife comes to you and says, "Honey, we want to go on vacation to Hawaii. We need more money. We need to go rob a bank." You say, "I love you, sweetheart, but I don't love you as much as Jesus, and I can't do that. Biblically, I can't do that." But if you can biblically do what she's asking you to do, why aren't you? Now, the same thing applies to kids, to those of you who are living with mom still. If you can biblically do what your mother is asking you to do, why aren't you? There is no reason not to. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 15. Proverbs 29, 15. It says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame." Mom isn't trying to make your life miserable by creating rules, by giving you boundaries, by saying you can only do this for so much time or only be out so late, or "I don't want you doing this." My parents, you know, I never understood. It's like they had a rule. It was really insane. I had to be in by midnight. Totally unfair. And my mom would tell me, she would say, "Nothing good happens after midnight. Nothing good happens after midnight." Now, I'm thinking, "What do you mean, Mom? You don't get me." Now I'm a dad. I'm 43. Nothing good happens after midnight. I'm even worse. I'm like, "You better be home by 10. No, I don't actually do that. My kids are great. And if I know where they're with, it's no big deal. But I still tell them, I say, "Nothing good happens after late times. Just set boundaries. Abide by them." See, when you disobey your mother by doing what you want instead, you do the exact opposite of honoring her. You bring shame upon her. Because other people look around and go, do they have parents? Does anybody care about this kid? Who lets a kid do something like that? You bring shame upon your mother. When you don't, you just do whatever you want instead. So if you're living with mom still, today would be a good day, you know, to commit to the Lord, to do what your mother's asking you to do. And I promise you, this will be a huge blessing to her. Now, I want to clarify. What I'm not talking about if his mom is living with you. That's a whole different story. If you're married and mom's living with you, your first responsibility is to your wife. You need to understand that, men. You need to understand that. Mom can never come before sweetheart. All right? Never. And if she does, you're going to have marital problems. But if you are living with mom, that's what I'm talking about here. And if you're younger, particularly, you need to abide by this and honor your mom. You'll be a huge blessing to her when you're being obedient. Now, the second way, and this applies to all of us, that we can honor our mothers is by living out the good things that our moms taught us. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. No mom is perfect, but you can really honor her by living out the good things she did teach you. Proverbs 6. Let's look at verse 20 and 21. Solomon giving wisdom to his son, he says, "My son, keep your father's commandment Verse 20, and forsake not the law, the instruction, the boundaries of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck. Keep them close. Live them out wherever you go. You know, maybe it's what your mom taught you was as simple as just teaching you how to balance, you know, your checkbook. Maybe that's what she taught you. And live it out. You honor her by doing that. Or maybe it's as deep as how you have a strong relationship with Jesus. She taught you how to do that. Then you live that out. And my mother's probably watching on the stream, and I say Happy Mother's Day to you, Mom. You're great. My mother taught me the importance of God's Word. You know, she never took anybody's word for something, whether it was a friend telling her, oh, the Bible says this, or even her pastor. My mom always went back to the Bible as the final authority on everything. And you know what? Every time I refuse to settle for an easy answer in my study time, I'm honoring the lesson her life taught me. Every time I do that, I'm honoring the lesson that her life taught me. My mother taught me many other good things. And whether your mother taught you a lot of good things or just a few good things, you honor her every time you live out the good things she did teach you. Every time you do it. Proverbs 17:25, if you turn there, it says this. 17:25. Proverbs 17:25 says, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. The word bitterness there means sadness. Listen, if you want to break your mother's heart by refusing to do the good things she taught you, then you go ahead. But that's the exact opposite of honoring your mother. If you want to be a wise person, then don't break your mother's heart by refusing to do the good things she taught you. Eschew that attitude of self and do what God says. You'll be a blessing to her. Because here's the truth. I've been doing counseling for a long time with parents. Most moms are keenly aware of their failures. I've run into some and they don't. They think they're doing just fine and they're bringing their house down upon themselves like Proverbs says. And if you're a mom and you're doing that, stop. Don't bring your own house down upon you because you want to have everything your way. Nobody gets to live life like that. Nobody does. Everybody has to be yielded to something. But most moms I know are keenly aware of their failures. They don't think of all the good things they did. And here's the thing. When you refuse to live out the good things she did teach you, you only increase the feeling that she's a complete failure. And that is a quick path to ruining your mom's Mother's Day. And I have a lot of moms that this day is not an easy one for them because their children are just doing whatever they want. And it breaks their mom's heart. They feel like a failure. Now, on the other hand, if you recommit yourself today to living out those good lessons, whether, you know, sometimes our moms teach us lessons by how they live, and then sometimes they teach us by what they tell us, right? But either way, they teach us lessons. But if you recommit yourself today to living out the good things that she taught you, then you'll be a huge blessing to her. Huge blessing to her. Now, may I encourage you, if you have not written the Mother's Day card yet, please just don't simply sign your name and let Hallmark do the talking. Take some time, take some time to list the things your mom taught you and to tell her how you're trying to live those things out. That will be a legacy that she will be forever blessed by. And I promise you, you will win the favorite child award for this Mother's Day. I promise you. I'm the oldest of seven. That is always the competition. I usually win. Not true, but I've won a few times. Measure it by the tears and how much makeup's running off her face. So one of the ways we honor our mother is by being obedient, you know, if you're still living with her. Number two, if wherever age you're at, wherever you're at, by living out the good things she taught you. Number three, the way you can honor your mother is don't forget about her when she's older. Look at Proverbs 23:22 says, hearken unto your father that begat you, and despise not your mother when she is old. Remember that word despise, it's the exact opposite of honor. It means to treat as worthless. Instead of valuing, it means to treat as worthless. And it can be very easy, especially when, you know, you're out of the home, to be like, man, I'm not going to do my family that way, or we're not going to do this. I hated the way my mom did this. I get it. Nobody's perfect, and there are things you say, I want to do better. And I think your mom would be proud of you for wanting to do better. But the temptation is to forget about them. To just kind of move on. You say, well, you don't know what kind of mother I had. Well, I do know what kind of mother Jesus had. And contrary to popular belief, as some churches teach, Jesus did not have the perfect mother. He did not have the perfect mother. You know, there's a certain point in Jesus' ministry where Mary and all of Jesus' brothers and sisters thought he'd lost his mind. Look it up, Mark 3, 20 and 21. It says that Jesus was teaching in a home and they came to the door because they said he's lost his mind. He's gone off the deep end. He's got a Messiah complex. That's what they thought. And mom thought it too. Mom thought, you know, I know the angel told me, but I think that he's going off the deep end right now. It says they thought he had lost his mind. Now, as they're outside the door and Jesus is teaching, word finally comes, hey, Jesus, your mom and your siblings are all outside. They're asking for you. And Jesus knew what they were asking for. See, he knew they're out there to rescue him from his insanity. It was going to be a family intervention. Jesus has gone off the rails. We need to go pull him out. He has gone bonkers. So they're there, and Jesus, when he hears about it, he knows why they're there, and he turns to everyone listening, and he goes, who are my mother and my sister and my brothers? It's those who hear my teaching and do what I say. Whoa. Jesus didn't have the perfect mom, and he didn't, you know, again, honoring mom doesn't mean you ignore her sin. You'd be respectful if you point it out. You'd be kind when you point it out. But Jesus pointed it out. He goes, they're not in this room. That's who my family is. They don't believe in me right now. And yet, even though she wasn't following Jesus at that point in her life, he never forgot about her. In John chapter 19, when Jesus is on the cross, fairly important moment in history, fairly important things going on there as he's dying for the sins of the world. There on the cross, there's this moment in John 19 where Mary's there. His aunt Mary is, another aunt Mary is also there. Mary Magdalene is also there. And John, the beloved, is also there, one of the disciples. Everybody else had abandoned Jesus. He's there dying on the cross for our sins. He sees his mom. He sees that she's there. And he says to her, woman, behold thy son, referring to John. See, when Joseph died, we don't know exactly when, but Jesus became the head of the family at a certain point in time. He took on the family business. He became the town fix-it guy. And he took care of mom, even though she didn't follow him. Even though she wasn't believing in him at that point in time. He took care of her. And he knew at this point in time he wouldn't be able to take care of her anymore because he was going to die. And there on the cross, while he's dying for the sins of the world, there's his imperfect mother down there. And he looks at her and he says, woman, behold thy son. And he looks at John and he says, son. He says, behold thy mother. He doesn't say son. He says, behold thy mother. And the Bible says that she stayed with John from that point on. He knew that the other brothers wouldn't take as good care of her as John would. And so he placed her in John's care. He never forgot about her, even though she was not believing. Jesus took care of his mother after his father died. And while dying for our sins, he made sure she was taken care of after he'd be gone. He did not forget about her as she got older, even though she wasn't the perfect mom. Now, if you're living with mom, you honor her by being obedient. We all can honor our moms by living out the good things they taught us. We all can honor our moms by not forgetting about them when they get older. And lastly, we can all honor our moms by walking with the Lord. Look at Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. We just read 22, but now in 24 and 25 it says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begets a wise child shall have joy from him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare you shall rejoice. It says the father of the righteous. That's who's being described here. Who's the righteous? Those who are right with God. Those who have a right relationship with God. Those who are walking with the Lord. It says that brings great gladness and great joy to a mother. It's interesting, the only commandment that Jesus' mother ever gave that we see in Scripture was do whatever he tells you. That's it. It's the only commandment we ever see her give. The only thing we ever tell her as she's telling somebody to do is do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And you know what? God blesses all mothers who have said to their children, do whatever Jesus says. Do what the Bible teaches. And if your mother taught you that lesson, the greatest blessing that you can give her ever, ever is walking with the Lord. Greatest blessing you can give her is by walking with the Lord, by living that out. Me and Beverly pray for our kids nightly, and you know, we pray for their health, we pray for their well-being, we pray for their success, we pray for their future mates, we pray just that God's hand would be upon their life. He just pour blessings upon them. But I tell you what, if none of those prayers were answered, The one prayer that we pray that would break our hearts if it didn't come to pass is, Lord, keep them close to you. I could live with it. I could live without health. I could live without success. I could even live with a rough marriage for them, but just let them walk with you no matter what. Show yourself that you're real to them. Show them that you're real. Make your word come alive to them. Reveal yourself to them, Lord, in a way that they can never get away from that. That's our biggest prayer, because there's no greater blessing than seeing your kids walk with the Lord. There's no greater grief than seeing them not. So we want that above everything else. Now, you might be here this morning and it could be tempting to think, my life, I'm not living for somebody else. I don't want to live a Christian life. Why would I do that just to bless mom? Can I just for a moment point out the inherent selfishness in the statement that you just made or the thought that you're having? It's my life. I do what I want. Do you understand that? It's not your life. It never was your life. You didn't give it to yourself. You don't own it. It was given to you. So you don't get to do with it whatever you want. Nobody lives life that way. Not successfully. When I'm with my kids disciplining them, one of the conversations we have at some point in time, say, do you think daddy likes doing this? I don't like doing this. You know, like taking away a privilege, or I don't like having a rough conversation with you. I don't like pointing out the flaws in your decision making. But I'm doing this because I don't want you to grow up and be a fool. I'm doing this because I don't want you to grow up and think you can behave however you want. Because nobody gets to live like that, not successfully. You don't get to go to work, and because the boss took away your toy, you decide to throw yourself on the ground and bang your head on the floor. You don't get to do that. You don't get to throw a temper tantrum at your coworkers and keep your job. Not long. So I try to tell him, I say, someday daddy won't be around to see your behavior and to comment on it. You're going to have consequences from your behavior. And so I'm trying to teach you now so that you won't experience those consequences later on. You can experience them now so that later on you'll make good decisions and be wise. So when we look at Jesus' life, did he ever live life for himself in any way? No, everything was for everyone else. Everything was for us. You know, whether it's exemplified in Sinatra's famous I Did It My Way, or I would say more recent, but maybe not, Bon Jovi's It's My Life. Our culture celebrates, in either one of those concepts, our culture celebrates individuality and selfishness. That's what it does. My life! You don't get to tell me what to do. But the very nature of the Christian life is denial of self. The very nature of why God created us is denial of self. Jesus, in Matthew 16, he said, if any man wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever seeks to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will find it. For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? This life isn't it. There's more to come. And if you decide that it's my life, I'm going to live however you want, fine, that leads to death. That's all it leads to is death. And so the Lord warns us. He says, I don't want that for you. I love you. So the way up is down. The way to life is dying to self, denial of self. You know, I'm probably going to get in trouble now. It's a mockery, I think, of Christianity to find self-help books everywhere in a Christian bookstore. Like, self-help? How about we just label the aisle self-death? That's how life's going to be. Come spring forth, self-death. Well, you got to love yourself. No, you don't. You got to deny yourself. Love others. So it's not about doing it just for mom. It's about leaving behind the self life, which leads to death. And when you recognize and go, this is why my mom instilled into me. What am I doing? Just living for me. That's what I'm talking about. If your mom taught you to do whatever Jesus says or do what the Bible teaches, and you're not, it's time to repent. And the beautiful thing is you'll be a blessing to mom when you do. Now, you say, well, great for mom. But there is a blessing that comes. What happens when we looked about how we honor our mom. We looked at what honor means. But what happens when I do honor my mother? Well, God, this commandment has a promise that comes with it. In Exodus 20, verse 12, it tells us, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives to you. Now, we read that, and that's not a magical potion of long life. That's not what this command is. What happens when you honor your mother is that God promises you'll experience life to the fullest. There are many who've honored their parents well who have died young. The phrase that your days may be long, it means, it's an idiom, and it means to be long-lived, which means you will live the full life that God has planned for you. I believe it's possible, and I dare say many have experienced less than God planned for their life. I believe that. They've experienced less than God planned for their life. Now, sometimes it's because of a very foolish decision. Look at King Josiah, godly king, good man, brought revival to Israel. But Babylon was always hanging out there in the wings. It was always a threat, always an issue. Syria was always there as an issue. And then you got Egypt there. Well, the Lord was trying to preserve Israel, and he brings out Egypt to fight against Babylon, the Pharaoh, pagan king, to come out and fight against Babylon. But for whatever reason, Josiah thinks, I don't want Egypt marching on my territory. The battle that Pharaoh was going to fight against Babylon is going to be fought in Megiddo. And so the valley there. And so he said, I don't want you on my territory. I don't want you this close to my territory. And so he comes out to fight against the king of Egypt. Now, God tells this pagan king to tell King Josiah, what are you doing up here, whippersnapper? It's your arrogance and your pride that's brought you up here. Humble thyself, lest harm come to you. And Josiah, in his pride and his stubbornness, said, I'm not letting you on my land. And he lost his life way shorter than God intended it to be. Sometimes it's because of repeated disobedience over and over again. You think God's plan for Samson was to die committing suicide in a Philistine pagan temple? I think not. I think God had probably a very different plan for Samson's life. And yet Samson repeatedly over and over and over and over again disobeyed the Lord. And his life was cut short. A very different life than God planned for him. So God promises you, if you honor your father and your mother, that you'll experience life to the fullest, the full life he planned for you as you obey that command. Don't you think that's a good promise? It's a great reason to honor our mothers. But secondly, God doesn't only promise that we'll experience life to the fullest that he intends for us. He promises that that life will be a life well lived. Look back at Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 20 through 23. We already read 20 and 21, but I want to keep going this time and read 22 and 23 as well. Proverbs 6, verses 20 through 23. Solomon says, my son, verse 20 of Proverbs 6, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them about your neck. Take them wherever you go. For when you go, it shall lead you. When you sleep, it shall keep you. And when you wake, it will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the path of life, the way of life. That's how life works, guys. Someone tells us we're doing it wrong. We learn from it, and we don't mess up anymore. That's how life works. It's not an insult when someone comes up to you and goes, hey, you're messing up. It's life. And the path of life, the way to find life, is to respond properly to that. Now, God gave you your mom, and she's trying to protect you from all sorts of messes. I may have been 12, and I might have thought it had been fine to go out and play with my friends with my pants on backwards. And I might have been thinking, you know, she's going, no, you're not going out like that. And I'm thinking, no, I need to get out there, man. If I don't get out there in time, I'm going to get picked on the team I don't want to be on. But she's thinking, you dummy head, if you go out there with your pants backwards, everyone's going to make fun of you and you're going to come back crying. But I'm not thinking that because I'm not wise enough to know that yet. I'm thankful for all the times my mom who was looking out for me because she knew how life worked. And when she put my pants on correctly. Proverbs 1:8-9, it says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Forsake not the law of your mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace upon your head and chains about your neck. That ornament of grace, it's a phrase, it means a beautiful wreath, a beautiful garland. It's a victory crown. It means a beautiful turban. It's something that was held in honor in that day. A person who honors their parents is a beautiful thing to see. Because storms may come in their life, winds may blow, but their life remains solid and stable. I can tell right away someone who has honored their folks. Because their life, yeah, it has bumps, but it pretty much is even keel. And I can tell somebody who hasn't. Because it's all over the map. There's not that stability that God supernaturally provides because you've been obedient to his word and he keeps his promise. It's just a fact. Those people make good decisions, they grow in grace, and they experience God's favor in their lives because he promised they would. So, the beautiful blessing that comes to you when you honor your mother is he promises you'll experience life to the fullest and that you'll have a life that's well lived. Good things, right? You know, Proverbs 10:1, it tells us, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. That word heaviness, it means sadness or sorrow. You know, there's a lot of moms who come on Mother's Day, they're very sad because their kids, whether young or old, they're really not honoring them. Proverbs 30:11 says, there is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. Let's not be that generation, guys. Let's be a blessing to our moms. Okay? Everybody on board with that? All right, let's all stand. Lord, we recommit to you today to honor our mothers. Lord, you've commanded it in your word, and to disobey your commands is folly, Lord. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it all starts. It's to love what you love and hate what you hate. And you love it when we honor our moms. And so, Lord, that's our commitment to you today, that whether we're living at home still with mom or we're grown, got our own kids, Lord, we want to be those who honor our mothers. And so we make that recommitment to you today to be faithful and obedient. Lord, to not forget about them when they get old. To walk with you. To live out the good lessons they've taught us. And if we're in that situation, to be obedient to them. And Lord, I pray that for those who are doing so, that you would continue to bless their lives. And for those who are making that commitment in an area maybe where they haven't been honoring mom, and they're making that commitment today, I pray you'd begin to bring stability to their lives, Lord, and favor and blessing. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to sing in a minute. But before we do, if you don't know the Lord, you're not walking with him, today's the day to fix it. And I want to encourage you. I'll be in the back and come see me and say, listen, I need to get right with the Lord. Will you pray with me? And I'd love to pray with you to give your life to Christ. So, but let's go ahead and worship the Lord.